You may have heard Ken Feinberg here in the past. He led the programs to compensate victims of 9/11, the Virginia Tech massacre, the Boston Marathon bombings, the Orlando nightclub shooting. He and his longtime associate Camille Byros have worked together since he was Senator Ted Kennedy's chief of staff and she was Ken's assistant in 1979. Now they work out of a six-person law firm in D.C. He's become known as the compensation czar, but she is the czarina, or more important in their recent project, the high priestess. Because now their independent reconciliation and compensation program has been processing clergy sex abuse claims for the Catholic Church. Dioceses in Pennsylvania and New Jersey have signed on. Colorado and California are reportedly expected to. They will put up the money, which most of New York dioceses are already doing. More than 1,300 claims from five dioceses have been processed. More than 1,100 of them have been paid. More than $215 million distributed to victims. Ken and Camille's model has become the standard for clergy sex abuse compensation worldwide. And it's Camille who hears most of the victims' claims of abuse, sort of reverse confessions. She joins us now. Camille, this must be hard.
It's very difficult to listen to men who are 65 years old and older who explain what happened to them, and it's as if it happened yesterday.
Yeah, burst into tears. In your office. But how do you do this? Because in some of the compensation programs you've run, it's quite obvious that somebody has died in the 9/11 attacks or the Orlando shooting. And we know that Ken had a formula for this mediation. He talked about it in his 2005 book, What is Life Worth? One of the toughest questions ever. But there's a formula for how long somebody worked, what children they had, what the family expected in income. What do you do when it's someone who's sitting in front of you who's, first of all, a victim survivor? You have to figure out what they are owed, but also you have to figure out whether to believe them.
We look at a number of different factors. First of all, we look at the documentation submitted with the paperwork. At the option of the claimant, we will sit in a meeting with them and allow them to explain to us more details about the abuse.
Well, when you say documentation, it could be that they told a therapist and the therapist made a note of it or even told a friend.
That's exactly right. You know, it could be journal entries, it could be diary entries, it could be something that's not something that they produced post the implementation of these programs.
But what if there's nothing? Because this is such a secretive, shame-based thing. Most people don't have anything. And you say that you know within 30 seconds if someone's telling the truth.
In some cases, when the abuser is a recidivist abuser, we look to other cases, mm-hmm. other abuse by that particular individual, and we see if we can find a similar MO, if you will, or any other information about what the priest did to those other children. Mm-hmm. You know, did he provide alcohol and drugs, pornography? We look at every aspect of all of these cases to see if we can assist the claimant with coming through the program with some sort of corroboration.
Right.
There are a few cases that we did. The interview didn't provide any additional corroboration, and we rejected those claims.
Well, and if you approve it, and you approve most in this program, you'd also decide how much compensation, the nature of the abuse, how long it went on, how it affected the person's life?
And age, the frequency of the abuse. Did you take them away on a weekend trip to a vacation home? We look at the effects on the life. We look at whether he or she was able to maintain any personal intimate relationships as an adult. A lot of claimants question their own sexuality. Mm-hmm. So we look at all the material that's available to us to make a determination.
Well, again, what a horrendous tabulation to do. You know, what a horrible spreadsheet that must be, you know, to try to figure that out. But you have been giving compensation. But what do you say to critics who say, first of all, this was instituted by Cardinal Dolan of New York. He called up Ken and said, can we talk about this? At a time when there was an awareness that the law was about to be expanded so that more claimants could come forward because the age that someone would be allowed to make a claim, in other words, how far back the claim was about to be expanded. And so there were critics who said the church was just trying to get rid of a lot of these claims before they became public. But also that you are doing the business once again for this church of not forcing the church to be the one to have the conversations about what happened to the victims. All the information that you take in goes into a file. Your thoughts on that?
I have a couple of comments about that. We hear from many of the claimants when they come through this program that it's really not about the money and the compensation. It has everything to do with the acknowledgement by both myself and Ken Feinberg as the administrators of these programs that this, we believe them. Mm-hmm. We believe this happened to them. We're not questioning that this happened to them. And they are grateful for that acknowledgement and validation of the fact that all these years they've been telling the story and now they're telling it and their people are believing it.
Yeah.
With regard to the changing of the law, when we first began this process with the Archdiocese of New York, that was in the fall of 2016, and it's my understanding that they had attempted a change in the statute for several years, and it didn't pass, as you well know, until this year. And quite frankly, that will give these victims another avenue. Once the law is in effect and they can bring suit, they can decide, do I want to come into this private program or do I want to actually file suit and go through that whole process of discovery and witnesses and a trial? And they have an option. They even have the option of coming into our program to see what our determination would be. And if they choose to accept it, they may. If they choose to reject it and move forward to a lawsuit, they can do that. So it gives them another option as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and it sounds as if you're also saying for the critics who say this is once again this Catholic Church not recognizing in a public way exactly what happened, the events that happened. We're reading the recent terrific New Yorker piece about the work that you and Ken do, but also it was written by a Catholic who would like to hear from church leaders the acts, the things that happened, like to have a recognition, because right now it's sort of cloaked in euphemism. But it sounds like you're saying for some of these victims, it gives them the privacy and the dignity of a conversation with you and Ken rather than the public airing.
I think it does. And, there are a number, it's not a large number, but there are a number of victims who ask if we can facilitate a meeting with the bishop of the particular diocese or the cardinal in the case of the archdiocese. And, we have done so. There aren't a tremendous number who want to go back to the church and have these discussions.
Well, and we should also point out that through your work, you and Ken, you picked up on claims against Theodore McCarrick and delivered those directly to the church, which did its own investigation. And it turns out that there were many claims against this bishop.
The first claim was filed with our program, and you're absolutely correct. It immediately went through the internal review board of the archdiocese, and since it involved a cardinal, it went all the way up to the Vatican for their review and investigation process.
Yeah. As you listen to these stories, are you a Catholic?
I raised a Catholic. I am a lapsed Catholic.
Your sense of, as you hear story after story, and your compensation program is, as we said, expanding, your sense of the church and your sense of faith and your sense of what's happened here.
A lot of these victims are completely estranged from the church, but there are a number that still believe and want to maintain a relationship. So it's very difficult.
Yeah. And I would just close with, unlike a lot of settlements, legal settlements, your reconciliation and compensation program doesn't require that people who receive compensation then not talk.
That's right. The program and the administrators are bound by confidentiality. The claimant and the victim, on the other hand, can say whatever they wish to. They can tell the news media. They can stand on the cathedral steps. They can do whatever they want to do because they are not bound. They are free to speak about the abuser, the process, the money, the church, whatever they wish.
That's Camille Byros, a longtime assistant to Ken Feinberg. She and he oversee compensation programs for victims of clergy sex abuse, and she's the one who most often hears their stories. Tough work. Camille, thank you.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you.